This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Heavenly Father, thank you that we can say it's all about you. God, Father, God, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this vision, Lord. Thank you that you also showed me autumn leaves, and I felt that there's people here who feels they're in autumn, but they're still young, but that they've gone through so much, and they feel so worn out, Lord. But Father, you bring new energy. You bring new focus. You are our shelter. You are our protector. You are our strong tower. You are the love of our souls. You are everything to us, Father. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that we may love you, Father. Thank you that we can adore you, Father, and we often don't know how. Lord, and I pray today that there will be a revelation to each one of us of who amazing and how awesome you are, Father. That there will come a new dimension in our level of thinking of you and about you. And in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks a lot. I felt actually that there's another person who has a message from during the worship. Is there still another person for the church who has a message for the church in the worship? Okay, so I assume it's Urbanus then and the leaves that I saw. You're welcome, Derkin, to hand it out. You can just pass it on. We will look later at that paper, but I want you to have it meanwhile. So when God said to me, it's my turn to preach, and he said to me, it's about his love for us, I went through my old sermons because I remember I once before preached on it. But as you know, I couldn't find it. So I think it's just the way our God is. You have to start all over again because there's a fresh revelation that he wants to give us. There's something new. He doesn't want the old again. So lots of stuff that I will share today will be familiar, will be common to you. But I ask you to don't listen to the words as much as what the meaning is. Just ask God what he has for you. There is something special that each one of us, where we are at with God and Jesus, we need to grasp today. And I pray that you will not miss it, as I will not miss it. That we will really get what is on his heart for us. Okay. So the first few slides we're going to go quickly through because I think you know your own past language. It's lots of definitions about love. What is the explanation of love in our worldly language? How we see love. So the first one is... I still wanted to say, when God gave me this, the sermon's name or the topic, he said, what is love and what is love not? And then I was thinking, what is love not? And I just put this with you now, that does love cover all wrong things? You don't need to answer, just think a little about it. Does it cover all wrong things? Does it cancel wrong things? Okay. And I was thinking of the era of the flower power. I think they call it something else. But that era when it was with less morals and with less standards and less rules, they tried life to do it that way. Is that love? Where rules are less important, I just put it out there. Okay, let's go to definitions of love. good. It's an intense feeling of deep affection. A strong feeling of affection and sexual attraction for someone. They were both in love with her. Affectionate greetings conveyed to someone on one's behalf. Give her my love. So this is not so intense personal. A formula for ending an affectionate letter. Take care. Lots of love. Judy. I think we all use that and is common in using that. A personified figure of love, often represented as Cupid. Whenever February comes, people think, I don't know if all of you think, but think of Valentine. I think that's the word. Isn't Cupid part of Valentine? Something like that? Yeah, I'm not so much into it. But, yeah. Okay, so it's like a Cupid. A great interest and pleasure in something, his love for football. A personal thing that one loves, she was the love of his life. Or their two great loves are tobacco and whiskey. I thought that's quite nice. But it can also be a British form, informal of a friendly form of address. It's all right, love. In tennis, you all know about tennis now, and some other sports, the score is zero. It's love 15. When I started tennis lessons as a child, I couldn't understand this love. What does it have to do with love if you have zero? But yeah, it makes the zero kinder, I think. Okay, it's also a verb. Feel deep affection or sexual love for someone. Do you love me? I quickly want to share this with me with me and Darkan. We had some language problems when we dated, but none of us was aware of it. So it was really actually funny how God orchestrated it. So he wrote me a letter when I was in university, and he said he likes me, but in Dutch. Ik hou van jou. And I was not very good in Dutch. And he said, okay, what do you think of me? So whatever, I don't know. And I said, yes, I like you. In Afrikaans, we say, ek hou van jou. But it's not very intense. It's just, yeah, you're okay-ish. Nah? What did Darkan understand? That I'm in love with him. So he was on fire. And I just thought, slowly. But yeah, we are married now for 35 years, so it went well. It was funny. So yeah, you must get the language right as well. Okay. Like or enjoy very much, I'd love a cup of tea. Must have been an English person's dictionary, this one. And the phrase, love is blind, or a proverb, loving someone makes you unable to see their faults. I don't see why he bothered with her, but then love is blind. For the love of God, I didn't realize that that was a saying, actually, for the love of God. I feel it's blasphemous to say it, but I'm, you know, perhaps I'm wrong. It's used to accompany or an urgent request or to express annoyance or surprise. For the love of God, get me out of here. Okay, and then for love, for pleasure rather than profit. He played for the love of the game. Love me, love my dog. If you love someone, you must accept everything about them, even their faults. Make love, as sexual intercourse, make love to pay amounts attention to someone. Not for love or money, it's informal, not in any circumstance. There's no or little or not much love lost between. There is mutual dislike between the two people mentioned. You fall in love, develop a deep romantic or sexual attraction to someone, or you fall out of love. You cease to feel a deep romantic or sexual attraction for someone. So there's lots of different ways how we use this word. And I think even you yourself use it in even an extra different way. It is a word that can be accustomed to your family or to your to the siblings or to whoever. And then there's a few words in the Bible that we often pick when we speak about love. There are many more. It's not just those three, but it's the agape, it's Jesus, the love Jesus had towards his father, the eros, the sexual or the lust one, and phileo, the brotherly love or friendship. When you research the Bible or you read the Bible, you also see there's a love of money, there's a love of greed, there's a love of honor, of pride. So all those things also come. How does God's love look like? If he says he loves us, what exactly does it mean? Is it one of those that I've mentioned in the dictionary, or is it much more? And I ask you to not block your mind, to just stay in the little square or circle, I don't know, where you are at. There's more, I think, that God wants to share with us today, and I'll do my best. But I trust the Holy Spirit that he will give you a thought that, oh yes, I've never seen God this way. Oh wow, this is actually awesome. This is beautiful. Okay. The paper that was handed out, we often use this paper in deliverance. After deliverance, someone has come for deliverance and is set free by God, by Jesus. Then we give this. It's helping to understand your identity in God, who God says you are. So it's a little, it's personified, the word. Where is our English people? It's made a little personal. It's not exactly the way it's written always in the Bible. So, but we're quickly going to run through them. Where God says, okay, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. And for some people, this can be very scary, but it's very comfortable. You don't need to explain anything to God. He loves it if you come and you spill the bones and you tell him everything what's on your heart. But he knows it in any case. It's not hidden to him. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Some of us has less, so God is not so busy with them counting. For you were made in my image. That is extraordinary. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. Who knew you before you were conceived? No one. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. Isn't that a comfortable thing to know? God didn't make a mistake. Yes, sometimes our parents' timing is a little wrong. No, we missed the timing. But God planned you. You are supposed to live in a time for today. You are planned for today. Even the whole world tells you, no, you're a mishap, and you have to live in another time. No, it's not true. Okay. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. I knit you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I'm your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you're my child. At one stage, God, I had an injury, and I'm not good with injuries. And I think it was my ankle. And I struggled for more than a week. And the next week, it was more painful than the first week. And the third week, it was more painful than even the second week. So I was all miserable. And then the small group said, okay, but we will bring you food every evening this week. And then I thought, man, I can walk. It's just super painful, so I don't deserve this food. And my children was very chuffed because some people know I'm not a good cook. So they were looking forward to every dish that arrived. So Renier is living with us, and he's really a gift to us. He's good in food. But then I sat on the stoop and I said to God, Lord, I do not understand. I'm not so sick. I can walk. It's very painful, blah, blah, blah. And then he showed me the whole earth and places which was special to me. There's a place in South Africa, Titicaca, and there I love to watch the dolphins in the waves. They swim in the waves. It's beautiful. And then God said, you like it? I said, yes, I do. And he said, I made it for you. I made creation for you to enjoy it. Then we went all over the place. And then he showed me where I was about age of four, and my mom, I was both, me and my mom. It's only in visions and stuff, it works like that. And I was struggling with a rope, and I wanted to tie the rope somewhere, and the rope was in a knot, and I couldn't get it loose. And then my mother came, and she said, I'll do it for you. And I just said, no, I don't want you to do it. And at the same time, I experienced the pain it is when you know you can help, you know you can fix it like this, then this girl can play on for a while, but then you just say no. And then God said to me, this is what you do. You say no when I want to help you. You say, you block it. You think, ach man, I'm good enough or cool enough or I have too much pride or whatever. And that day also, he showed me, he says, Renee, I love you. Before you were conceived, but also when you were so small, it was about 3 centimeters. He said, you were safe, I fed you, you were warm, and you didn't earn anything. I loved you as you. We can't earn God's love. And it was so special. I will always remember it, that he loves us unconditionally. In that sense, unconditionally, we cannot do anything to earn it. We don't need to follow all his rules and think then he will love us more. He loves you. He made you. He created you. Okay, let's go. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. Do we let God meet our needs? Okay. For my plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore. Some of you have been in love or have been loved. There's no one that thinks so much of you. Not your mom, not your dad, not your lover, not your husband or wife, as what God thinks of you. So many, so it's countless, like the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I think many of us don't feel treasured, but we are God's treasured possession. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I'm able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. I am your Father and I love you, even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being, Jesus. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love to you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. I hope it rings something with you. It is immense that God gave up his only son. If you have a child, you can understand a little. It's a sacrifice. And it's not when we stopped sinning that God said, okay, son, seemingly they stopped sinning now, so now it's the time for you to go to save, to pay the price. No. It was while we were still stubborn, while we were still full of pride, and he did it. So he he must love us enormously if he did that. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I'm waiting for you. Okay. So this is a few of God's definitions of his love to us. I want us to look also to the next slide. It's Genesis 1, verse 3 to 5. We can go through the whole Bible. This topic is so immense wide that I just felt God gave me a few things to look at. This was now general intro, all the definitions and all this love letter of God. So let's quickly zoom a little in, and it's about creation. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And we believe, and I suppose you all believe, that God created the universe. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created the universe. And it is immense big. We'll look at a photo a little later. But how precious. I've never stood still with light. How superb light is, actually, what God created. It's divinely created, because plants and us need light. God didn't first make us and plants and then think, whoa, where will we go with them? No, he thought it through. It is inexpensive, the light. I think if we had to pay for the sun, it would not come up. At least with a few of us. I will pay him that he shines the whole day and night. Okay, light is extensive. It floods the universe. Sometimes when I'm awake early enough, and that's not that seldom, that I see the break of dawn. Yeah. Is that the morning? Yeah. It is beautiful. And then I think, you know, you can put up so many lights as what you wish, and you can put spotlights and flashlights and whatever light. It will never, ever accomplish what God does. And you know, every day. It's every day, twice a day. It's just so humongous. And this light is for the rich and for the poor. Lucky us, eh? Well, I think we are still rich. And it's welcome. It's positive. Some of us experienced less light in the winter year. And for me, it was hard. It was tough. Because, it can make you lack vitamin D. And then that makes your immune system go down and your mood. So it's not funny. We need the light. We need the sun. We need the sunlight. It gives us life in an extent. And God resembles light. We always say, bring it in the light. Bring it into God. He already knows, as I said to you. But if we share it just to God, it's as if the burden falls away. As if the hold, it's what happens actually there, is the hold that the enemy had on you with those ugly stuff that happened to you or what you did, it's in the light. So now it's the hold of Satan is gone. It's such a relief. It's awesome. Okay. But light, it's divinely created, but it's also divinely approved. I think often we don't go back to what we did or what we read through to see, is it done well? Did I speak well? I shared with you that in a week there was two people and I gave them advice soulishly of my own wisdom. And then I went back home and I asked God, is this what you wanted me to say? And he said, no, it's not what I wanted you to say. So you must check. Did you speak right? Did you say it right? Did you think right? Are your emotions what God wants you? Because we miss it. We miss it often. Okay. The light in itself is pure and clear and not so fierce that it injures us. Yes, sometimes we get sunburn, but it's not that it what is verskroei, scorch you. We are not burnt to ashes, black things. Sorry, my language was never good. My children said when I start to talk English, they say, oh, please, Mom, don't talk. So I know God will help you to understand me. Okay, but the sun is also not so weak that it's ineffective. It does what it needs to do. Yeah? It's not disturbing. It's nice. We see the sun and we think it's cool. It's nice weather. Nothing else could have accomplished its purpose towards life of man, plants and animals, as what light does. And God evaluated it carefully after he has created it. We see that in Genesis when he has, while he was creating the universe, he checked it out. Yes, it was good. Friday we had an info session of deliverance, and I said to some of them there that a girl or a child said to me that our belly button, I heard that is the word for this thingy here, and that it was actually when God said, well done, well done, well done. So it was beautiful to me. Okay, and then it's divinely proportionate. We have days and we have nights, but it's not all the days, 10 days on one, and then 3 nights. No, it's nicely in a rhythm. It's most people work in daytime, some work at night. Some animals are awake at night, but then they can rest in daytime. So we need it, and it's so beautiful how awesome God created light, of course the rest as well, to suit us. Now he said to me, it's part of my love to create and make ready a place with such vast dimensions, yet so carefully, precisely created, so well thought through. He prepared earth especially for us to live on. The next slide, I hope you will enjoy that one, is how do we prepare when we are pregnant or when we have a baby? I thought this must be fake, but it's just too good to be true. Perhaps some of you had babies that didn't cry so much. But when we prepare for a baby, when you were in the coming to be, now, I hope your mom and dad created a place for you because they were looking forward to you. They wanted you. They paint the room. They get a cot. I read a book that if you can't afford a cot, a drawer will also do. So if you don't have that, or some people just put the baby with them in the bed. But you have to have some clothes and some nappies and some cream and soap and whatever. So this is how we prepare when a new body, or not body, when new child arrives. What did God do to make us feel welcome, to prepare our place for us? What did he put in us? What did he... It's just immense big. If you think of all the dictionary words of love and compare to what God's love looked like, it's not comparison. There's no comparison between the two. Then I always love these slides. The next one is of the Hubble telescope, and it's part of Louis Giglio's teachings that he circles the world, or he did the world with. This is in the whirlpool, is an egg structure at the core of the whirlpool galaxy. It is 31 million light years away. I cannot grasp how big is that. But if you just can think how big is the universe then. If there's 31 million light years away, something like this, you think God is everywhere. Some people think it's a cross. I think it looks quite a little like a cross. But it's just how God created it. He's so immense, big, and then to our delight, with our super duper cool telescope exactly on that whirlpool, in, suddenly we see this. It's so big. It's so enormous. And why did God create this? I don't know. For our pleasure, I suppose. Because he said to me, the earth is created for us to live in and to have pleasure in it and to enjoy it. And then the next one, that is the big, big, big universe, and then small, small, small cells. I think some of you have watched these videos. This is a laminin. I don't know how many clever students here, but this is a protein molecule. Okay, let's get there. Marco, perhaps you. It's one of many. So look intelligent now. It's a cell adhesion molecule. It tells the cell what its job is in the body. Okay? And it's like the when the guy explained it to Louis Giglio, who was a molecular biologist, he said it's like the steel in concrete. It's the core. It's the thing that makes it strong. It's the thing that keeps it kind of together. This is lemon. This is in the cells. This is in our cells. And it's like it's the glue of our body. It's like glue of our body. It's holding your membranes together. Isn't that beautiful? That God, even that it's a little in a cross is cool, but just that there is something like that. How did God prepare for us? How did he love us into the itty bitty bitty tiny? And often when we speak to people, they say, no, I believe in science. Then I say, yeah, science is the evidence of God. This is evidence of him. It's not that you believe in that. Yes, it's true. We saw it. It's in an electron microscope. This photo was made. So it's definitely there. But God created it. He made it. And it's super, super cool. It's the best glue ever. I always say my skin is so cool. I didn't like my skin because it has this white stuff on it. It burns in the sun. Not a strong skin for the sun. And then I say, it still covers me quite neatly. Everywhere. It's still there. It's tough. So it's perhaps the laminin in it. Okay. Colossians 1 verse 17. It says, it's so beautiful. I didn't have it on my notes, but it's, and he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, are held together. And it says it in the Bible, in the Word. We are held together with something of God. God holds us together. It's beautiful. And how God created us. And if you just think, how does your ears work? It's a very strange ornament next to your head. If you start looking at it, it's really a strange thing. But it works so well. And animals' ears, and some are hidden. Fishes you can't see. Or I don't even know if they have ears. But donkeys are big, but okay, it gets the sound. But what does it do with the sound? It goes into this round thing we call head, and then somehow it makes sense out of it. And we have language, and we have, it is miracles how this works. And the eye, how does the eye know what it sees? How does it interpret? Sometimes I wonder if my yellow is the same yellow as your yellow, because I don't know if my, but in any case, the way you see things is how your brain interprets it, and it goes like, I say high wire, but it goes lightnings in your head. And then you understand a little, only a little. And then we can even communicate with God. It's a spiritual thing. Can we make a photo of our spirits? No. But still, it's a dimension that's part of us, a dimension. It's something that connects with God. The first time when I heard God speaking to me, that I asked him to speak to me, and I sat on my bed for 20 minutes and said, I will not move till I hear what you say, because in the word you tell me, I can hear you, and I'm not sure that I can hear you. And the first time it was foreign to me, actually. It's like Simeon explained it, or I remembered when Simeon explained it at Encounter One, that when the first time someone phones you, you said, oh, hello, who are you? Oh, are you Pete? Yes, yeah, okay. Next day, if he phones you again, if he phones you 3 days in a row, if he phones you 20 times now, you already know his voice. Oh, Pete, is it you again? It's the same with God. It's something. But how does that work? We can't see it. We can't touch it. I don't see it flying in the air. But we know it's there, and we have the effect in us. It's a miracle. And this is what God made us, so that we can communicate with him. He wanted us to communicate with him. It's beautiful. Okay, let's rush through. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. Not one of us live 1,000 generations. No. But it's God says, I'm committed to thousands of generations, on and on and on and on. For us, it's difficult to commit even in one generation. Even if a child makes you so, or your husband makes you angry or whatever, I don't know. You struggle to commit. God says he's committed to us. Not when we are perfect, not when we are cool husbands or cool wives or cool children. He's committed. And still he has the best for us. That gives me so much peace that I know, even if God tells me a tough thing that I have to do, like evangelizing, man, I'm intimidated and I don't know why. But I know it's for my best as well. It's also that someone else can hear. And I've spoken quite a few times to people who have never heard about Jesus. So if I didn't go, and I said, Lord, I'm not into it, they all missed it. They would have missed it. God is for us from the day that you were planned, from the day that you were conceived, till the day you're dead and even after death. He is into us so much. He loves us. He loves us from the day when he thought of us to create till forever. It is immense. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? It's beautiful. God is really for you. And if he doesn't give you a thing, sometimes it's not what you need then. Although you think, I need it urgently. We can only see this far. It's like a child. He always wants sweets, day and night. And then sometimes you say no. Why? Because you can see a little further. Sometimes he needs some veggies or meat or whatever. It will also help him. Does he like it? No, of course he doesn't like it. He just wants sweets or cake or whatever. But God knows so much better. And even when the enemy gives you a whack and you struggle and it's difficult because life is tough, he is with you. He even can take that and turn it for the best, because for those who love him. It is beautiful. There is nothing on earth that is so cool. Cool is just such a common word. I don't have the vocabulary to say how awesome it is. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See, it's also something we can't take. We can't say, okay, Here is a chocolate that will give you faith when you eat that. It's just something so spiritual and so, it's just beautiful. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love, not in hatred, not in strife, not in discomfort, no, in something beautiful like light, love. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray that you will know, I think we will never know the whole thing, but will grasp a little more how much God loves you. How big that is. Don't feel inferior. Don't feel, I'm not worthy. Like I didn't want to receive the food. That's pride. It's just the reverse side of pride. So I had to repent of that. But that we will know. Know means with understanding, grasp. How big it is. How beautiful it is. How much God prepared the place for you. How much He loved you. He didn't make some of us with ears and some not, because He's just not wanting to give you so much. This is not how He is. He gives us everything. He laid down His Son's life. God, Father, laid down His Son's life for us. Now to Him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Beautiful. We don't know how that works, but it's beautiful. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want to ask you, what does God's love, a little of what I've shared, and often we cannot grasp it, so we belittle it, we make it small, so that we can contain it, so that we can understand it. Don't go there. Try and think bigger, wider. What does it mean to you personally that God says He loves you? Is it a saying of, yes, love? No, it's more than that. We 2 weeks or 3 weeks back, we had a camp, and 15 people of Shofar Utrecht, I'm so proud of you, prayed for a few people and got words for them, and we can put it on a little cardboard, and we attached it to their gift pack when they arrived. You must see how chuffed the people was, because that was a word that God gave through someone else who was prepared to take time to pray. They didn't earn anything in that. Some of them didn't even attend the camp. And it was a blessing to that person because God spoke. And how we receive it, and I don't know how that works in our brains, but it's beautiful. There was one lady who came to me, actually our head Nikki, she's the leader pastor of Shofar's wife. She said, Renee, she thought I prayed, so unfortunately I had to say no. It was not me. I'm not so cool. But she said, yeah, God was talking to me about Psalm 121, the last month. What was the scriptures she got? Psalm 121. How is that possible? The person who prayed for her didn't even know her. Ah, it's beautiful. God is just beautiful. He's just so awesome. When God speaks to you, how do you experience His love? Even when he gives you a difficult thing to do or to say. When you sit in the bus and God speaks to you and say, hey, talk to that guy or to that lady. And then you say, only if she scratches her head. Or if she sits next to me, or if she's still on the bus, whenever. Oh, sorry, Lord, I'm off the bus now. What? How do we treat it? How do we treat God's love? When He heals you, have any one of you been healed of something after prayer? Just by hand, show quickly. God heals. I was healed. Man, I didn't have faith that day. Not at all. And my son and a a young guy of 18 years prayed for me. Please heal this auntie's knee. And nothing happened, of course. And then Bernard, my son said, give me the crutches. I said, do I look stupid? I cannot walk without the crutches, and my other leg is shivering because I'm heavy, and it makes like this, and I need the crutches now, and I cannot touch the ground because then it's like lightning through my body, and then I hyperventilate and sweat, and it goes in a tangent. And he says, but Mom, where is your faith? I said, I don't have faith. I know God can heal, but it's not for me. And then he says, well, I have faith. Or we have faith. I said, well, then you better pray more because nothing happened. And, oh, this poor guy, he prayed again so honestly. Thank you, Father, that you healed this auntie's knee. And then Bernard took the crutches. And, man, I was cross, but I was sweating by that time. And I couldn't touch the floor. And then I thought, okay, I'll do it softly, softly, softly. And nothing happened. And I could put my foot down. And I thought, okay, as soon as I put my weight on this knee, it will just twist. Because it was torn on this side, it will just go into that. But nothing happened. You know, when I walked, that's a big church where that happened. There's, I think, 500, 600 students, and I had to go with the crutches. And you know how they stare at you? There goes the auntie with the crutches, click, 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 click. And then I think, you will see me coming back with these crutches. But praise God, he's bigger than that. He's awesome. I could walk out. It was very painful for 6 weeks still. But I could walk. And when I got to the physio, she said to me, what happened to you? Because I came without crutches. She said, I said, oh, I went to church. They prayed for me. She said, do you know that your ligaments were torn off? I said, thank you for not letting me know. God is, then I only realized how big the miracle was. God is just amazing. Good. Now to him, we are there. Okay, personally, when you pray for something and it happens, for protection, for your work, some people change jobs or get new jobs, do you thank God? It's his love. His love. He loves you. He wants you to prosper. If you didn't get that work, what do? God, where were you? No, you cannot. It's perhaps not the right job for you. It's perhaps not where he wants you to be. But I only learned it very late in my life. I'm very old, as you can see. But I learned to really submit to God's will. It costs you your life. It costs you your own thinking of what you think is best and cool for you and where you would like to be and live. And then God says no. And the last 4 years since we live here, it was a big sacrifice. But you know, I will never want to miss it for anything. The way our marriage, me and Dadgen's relationship grew and how beautiful it was. God gave me that promise before, but I didn't have a clue how it will happen. And it was tough, but it's so awesome. And how I had to stand in faith for church. And at the beginning he said, and still he says, it's not your church, Renee, it's my church. And how he makes it grow. And then I'm just surprised. And I think, wow, Lord, yeah, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail to his church. And even if we were three in the church, we had church. It didn't matter because I didn't worry about people. Yes, of course I do worry about people, but about numbers is the word, about numbers, because it's his church. He must bring them. I work for him, so I must do what he tells me to do. And that is what his love in that is also a blessing for you. It's not that it's just a sacrifice. There's beauty in it. There's his richness, which I would have missed if I didn't do this. So sometimes he plugs you out of your comfort zone. Welcome to Shofar, because Shofar plugs you out of your comfort zone. It's not always easy and it's not always what you like. But I can tell you, God works with you. You grow closer to him, you understand him better, he can communicate with you better, and you're much more a blessing to the world. Hopefully. Okay. In groups, How do you experience His love in church, in your work, in small groups, in sport groups, in intercession? We do intercession now for 4 years, every Tuesday. I think we took off about 5 times or something like that. If I'm not there, Eunice takes over, but that we cancelled it. And you know, God pitched every time. He never says, oh, I'm not into your guys today. No, He's there. He's faithful for generations. He is so for us. And then in your town, in cities, where we pray in the town Utrecht, we often pray for Utrecht and London and Valencia and so on. I can see there's more worship in Utrecht since we are here and we started praying. And there are more laborers. There are more churches opened, spirit-filled churches. I praise God for that. We need many. The spirit realm changed. When we walk in Utrecht on a Thursday evening, it was tough, also because of my own personal stuff, that I was intimidated. But still, you barely got a good conversation with someone. And now it's mostly that you will at least have one good conversation with someone. People are more open. And I also see two, sometimes three other groups of people or persons also evangelizing on a Thursday evening because it's cope off and the shops are open till 9. And then I think, thank you, Lord, for the laborers. Thank you for more people to share your good news. We pray that whenever people pass Utrecht or live in Utrecht, that they will know God is, who is God, who is His love. Okay, and then your country. We are very diverse, and we have a country which we dearly love, and some of us dearly love the Netherlands. Some of us dearly love another country. How does your country look like? Can you see God's love there? A little or a lot? On Tuesday, we're going to pray in Parliament again. I love it. It's awesome. And also the miracles God does when you start praying. You know, there was a... I don't know how much time I still have. There was a... where you vote, yeah, for the country. And we prayed. I'm just part of many that pray. And we prayed for the Christian Party, the CU, the Christian Unie, to be in Parliament. Now, I don't know how many of you, how much you know, but the Christian Party is very small in this country. It's minute. So it will not have a representative in Parliament, or at least not in the coalition, because they don't have an effect. We prayed for that, and we trusted God, and we stood on it. And I just thought, Lord, you better do it now, because I don't know how this will happen. But that's the miracle. We never know how it happens. They are part of the coalition. At first they were kicked out, and then they asked them again, will you not rethink and try to be part of it? You know what does that mean? It means that there's a voice in Parliament, in the highest places of Parliament, of Christianity, of God. There's a voice. Someone speaks it. It's one voice. It's not very big, but it's there. It's beautiful. It's awesome. And you think, oh, how can this little small party, how will it have an effect? It has an effect. So it's beautiful. So we must pray for our countries. We must pray for the leaders. Okay. And you may stand. We are at the end of the sermon. You lost it. I'm glad. Still, most of you are awake. And while you close your eyes, I just, I'm going to pray and ask a few questions and share a last little thing. Father God, I don't know how to describe it. I have no words in not any language that I'm able to speak in of how big, how good, how awesome your love is, Lord. It is immense. The universe you created, and stuff in the universe just for us to like, to see, just as a surprise. Oh, Father, it's beautiful. How you created us with the laminin and many other things. But it's so awesome. You thought of that. You thought it through. And you looked at it and you said, it is well done. I'm happy with it. It's beautiful. Lord, we cannot grasp how it's possible. I'm so glad you're a God, Lord, because no human being can do this. And I'm so glad you love us. And I'm so glad we all can be part of you, Lord, and that you love each and every one of us, and that you formed us, and that you made us, and you created us, and you're into us for generations and generations and forever. And you're faithful, and you stand, and you never will let us go. Father, oh, how we love you. And it's so little in comparison with your love. But we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you will show every person here personally, on the level where he or she is, or at the level, how much you love him. How much you love him, Lord. Thank you that you give him a word, that you give him a picture, that you remind him or her of something, that he can feel you. Lord, when we worshiped, you said to me, listen, listen, there are more that sing. It's the angels that joined you. Listen, hear them. Lord, it's a miracle. It's just a miracle how this happened, how you speak to us. It's beautiful. Father, I pray that you will speak to every person even more abundantly, that we will receive you, Lord. And you showed me a picture of a little animated person, and lots of arrows going to this person, and you say, I flood him with my love. I flood him. Are you positioned to let yourself be flooded? That God can flood you? Like if you stand in the rain, you can choose to stand not in the rain. You can take cover. Do you want to be flooded by what he has for you, for the love? For the love. Thank you, Lord, that you flood them, Father, us. Thank you, Lord, that you flood us. Father, and if there's anyone now, while all eyes are closed, that you've never, ever publicly confessed that Jesus is your Lord, that you want to follow him, that you believe that without him you cannot get this relationship with God, you cannot be forgiven of all your wrongs. It's just because Jesus, because of the love of God. If there's any one of you that you feel stirred in your heart, don't be intimidated, don't feel ashamed. It's just the enemy attacking you. If there's any one of you, will you be so kind to raise your hand, that feels you have never publicly acknowledged and said, I want to take Jesus as my Savior. Okay. And then, Lord, we come and we repent our own ways and our own doings and our little understanding of life and of us and of you. And we repent that, Lord. We come to you and we say we are sorry. And if there's anyone who feels, I want to reconnect with God, or even connect with God better, and I want to understand his love more, and how I can live in his love, and how can I be a vessel for him. If you want prayer for that, please come to the front and the leaders will come and pray with you. And I never understood this coming to the front thing. And I just want to say to you, there's an anointing in the front. It is as if God blesses it more abundantly. So don't miss it. If you really want to come to the front, let someone pray with you. God gives them words. God is into you. He loves you. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you that we will think bigger and wider of who you really are. Thank you for your immense love. We thank you, Father. We honor you. We glorify you, our King. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.